live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 179. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, good afternoon, Brandon. Good afternoon, Crossroads listening audience. Man, new month, and here we are, man, ready to talk some sports tonight, man. Give us the rundown.
New month, new weather. The weather has turned. I love it. We got a big show tonight, college football. College football is here, people. It started last week with week zero. We got week one. Starts tonight with a single game. UAB and Jacksonville State. It may not be pretty, but by God, we got college football. And then a little bit, five games, I think, on Thursday. We pick it up a little bit set Friday. Then you got college football all day and night Saturday. You got a game on Sunday. You got a game on Monday. My God, we are back. We are back. We're going to be talking a little NFL tonight towards the end as we preview, get closer and closer to week number one next week. A little bit of recap in golf this past weekend. Man, what a tournament that was. We'll talk that as well. We also have our main guy coming back, Tanner Penrod, our college football gambling guy with me. He is back tonight. He'll be calling in about 6:20.
Woo!
Yep, that's for Tanner, the woo. He'll be calling in at 6:20 tonight. We're going to be going over picks, games that we like this weekend, spreads and such. And then this year, folks, we were going to do a guest picker, which we can still do a guest picker time to time with our picks. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a three-man show on picks this year with spreads between myself, Jonathan, and Tanner. Tanner's going to do his picks with us tonight for week one. It's going to be a great time, and we'll see if we can knock Jonathan, who won the pick 'em last year. We'll see if he can repeat as champion.
So we shall see. We shall see.
We'll continue, but college football is back. We love it. John, let's recap week zero. And week zero, we had the first game. You know, everybody's getting pumped up. First game, ready to roll. College football season here. Everybody has high hopes for the year. And then you – uh-oh.
Not already.
I think we got to. We're going to play the baptized because I think they're dead. They're in the trash. They had all these high hopes. I remember this head coach saying, we'll play any team last year, any team, anywhere, at any time. And then they just went to, against Illinois and just got stomped. And that's Nebraska Cornhuskers and Scott Frost. Scott Frost, John, the boy that came home, trouble in Nebraska land. And I don't know if this is his fourth year. It's not going well. The record is horrific. They have one more. I would think he'd get fired this year, but hell, with it being a hometown boy, they may have him go one more year. They always go a little bit 1 year further than they need to. Plus, that buyout, John, $20 million if you want to buy him out today.
Well, you know, the deep pockets of the Nebraska alumni should never be in doubt. Obviously, not necessarily like Texas or, you know, some of these other places where they have high transition with coaches. But I think they can clear it. Do they want to clear it? You kind of like you allude to, they want to clear it? Do they want to give them another shot at, you know what I'm saying, redemption? That remains to be seen. But this 2021 season for the Nebraska Cornhuskers has not started out. And, you know what I'm saying, any favorable fashion. And, you know, I watched a large portion of the game, and hell, they even knocked out. They did themselves a favor, and they knocked out the starting quarterback from Illinois. You know what I'm saying? So Illinois won essentially with the backup. So imagine, you know what I'm saying, you know, if the starting quarterback had been out there, I know you bet, so I know with the point spread probably would have been a little bit better for all you bettors out there. I think Illinois only won by 8, and I think the spread was Was that the spread? Was that, I think 8 points was the spread. I don't know what
it was 8.5, but I got it with Illinois plus 9 early in the week.
Oh, okay.
The real screwy thing for us sports bettors was the over-under. Over-under, John, was 52.5. And that game started out with a safety, which was nuts already to start the season off. And then at the end of the first quarter, it was 2-0. So us bettors were like, all right, we all right. We all right here. I took the under 52.5, and I missed extra point, John. At the end of the game, the final score was 52 points. Oh, we survived by a half a point. Sweat on the first day, first game.
Back to the game. It's not that I don't think Scott Frost can coach. He's had stops as an offense coordinator in Oregon when he was under Chip Kelly. He led the, you know, the UCF program. There was kind of just some carryover with that team, with those teams that he had. Plus, he was in Florida. So, like, you know what I'm saying, that's one of the easiest places to recruit, as you know what I'm saying, as folks say. You know what I'm saying? Any Florida schools should have talent, right, as much as they play football down there. But hasn't been able to seemingly pull, you know what I'm saying, kids from the, you know what I'm saying, the because he's known as a good coach and a good recruiter.
Yeah, but he's good at USC.
He hasn't been able to pull the kind of talent that Nebraska kind of needs to compete in the Big Ten. He has a quarterback, Martinez. It's not the same Martinez that was there in 2015.
I know. I had to look it up. My God, I feel like he's been there since 8 years.
Yeah, this is a coincidence. They've had quarterbacks in basically like back to back years with the same last name, no relation though. But he has a quarterback that seemingly has regressed. So again, you know what I'm saying, you are what you are, you know what I'm saying, when you representation on the field. That's you know, he's almost kind of like in the Jim Harbaugh type of situation. Right? So I don't know. You can't cry for me Argentina too much for Scott Frost, because he talked a lot of trash, right, down in UCF. Talked a lot of trash when he got back up here to Nebraska and who they would play and when they would play him, and because they wanted to play, you know what I mean, all last year during the pandemic, you know what I'm saying, all those, you know, things kind of went on with the Big Ten shutting down, starting back up or whatever. But, you know what I'm saying, doesn't seem like he has, you know what I'm saying, with a rebuilding program, Illinois team that they should have won and manhandled. The exact opposite.
And Illinois is bad. Don't get me wrong. Illinois is bad.
Yeah. That's a team that, you know, say 2-3 years from now, we'll be, oh, man.
John, they got beat by the backup quarterback, the starter, who, shout
that's
out, he's from Avon, Indiana. But still, my God, that's the best you're going to, the Illinois is so bad, that's the best that you're going to get at a Bo Bellini, or a Bellini by the rest of the season. That was it.
Well, I don't know, man. I wouldn't say that, man. You know, there's Illinois might sneak up on some other teams.
Come on,
you know,
now.
Some other left. Hey, do they got to play Purdue this year?
Yep.
We're
shots fired at the Boilers.
We're taping that. That's not a shot. That's just the truth, man. You know, they got a target on their back. You know what I'm
it's
saying?
At Purdue.
Well, that favors. That's good for Purdue and Coach Brown. But like, nah, man, this is not a good sign for the, you know what I'm saying, Cornhuskers 2021 campaign. I don't know, man. You know, there's a lot of speculation, man. Brandon, I know me and you talked two episodes ago about the Big Ten and the expansion and the alliance and whatnot. This alliance, and I know the alliance doesn't happen until like 2 or 3 more years, but can a team like Nebraska, a brand name like that, continue to just wallow in mediocrity or less?
They're
going
to go back to the Big 12.
You know, sometimes, Brandon, I think me and you are the same accord, man. I don't know. I agree with that because, you know, at least with that, you would get your natural rivalries back. And that's what schools are, you know what I'm saying, but the Big 12 is kind of they're going to be on the outside looking in if they still exist. You know what I mean? That's another 50-50 thing right there. But
right.
They just can't, like, they came over, you know what I'm saying, Nebraska came over how many seasons ago, eight seasons ago, I do believe now, and they just kind of become also-rans for Michigan and Ohio, not even Michigan, for Ohio State and Wisconsin. Like, you know what I mean? They have not brought their tradition of winning. So I think he survives. I know we still got, like, unless it gets further embarrassing, Brandon, where we're talking like 0-7, you know what I mean?
They're going to win the next game. They'll win their next game. They play Fordham at home, so they'd be all right.
Well, if they lose to Fordham, you can best the Lincoln, Nebraska be, you know what I'm saying, looking for.
Listen, they're going to need to win their next two games. They got Fordham at home, and they got Buffalo at home, okay? Buffalo's no slouch, but if they can beat both of them and kind of beat them handily, they're going to need it for that fan base, because if they go in 1-3 1-2 or 0-3 and they got to go to Norman, take on the Sooners in week 4, look out.
Yeah.
Look out.
They ain't beating Oklahoma. You can
not a shot.
Not a shot.
And spoiler alert for Illinois, spoiler alert here in the next 10 minutes or so, upset watch this weekend for them. That's how bad they are. They are going to get beat this weekend, and they play University of Texas, San Antonio. So I'm telling you, the Roadrunners are a good team. They're going to beat Illinois this year. They're going to beat them. So
uh-oh.
Be ready for that. That's a little side pick for you. John, Chip Kelly, he's back. You know why he's back? Because the first game, he's finally got all his players in. All his players he recruited at UCLA, he wore the visor. It's the first time since USC brought the visor back.
They dominated.
Now, no fans showed up to the games, but they dominated. Chip Kelly's back with the visor, the fly Bruin offense.
Yeah.
You say it looked good. Spoiler. Get ready
UCLA
for the next
good.
Week.
Yeah, UCLA looked good. We all know that Los Angeles is, as far as football is concerned, and this is what I mean, even beating above the Chargers, this is a USC town. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to take more than just a blowout win against Hawaii. Which Hawaii is a decent program. Let's not make no mistake about it. But UCLA took care of business. Kelly, that we, you know what I'm saying, that we all know that used to blow out teams back in Oregon, right? I think we hear more noise about Chip Kelly. I mean, I actually got them beat. I know we got to do our picks later, man. I actually got them beating LSU.
I love where your head's at, because I got UCLA plus the 4, and I took UCLA money line this week against LSU. I love it.
Yeah.
By the way, here's a little note for you with UCLA. Say Chip and them have a good season this year, all right? If it's a down year for Mario Cristobal up in Oregon and they decide to go a different route and Cristobal's not the answer, don't be surprised if Chip and them have a great season that Oregon says, hey, Chip, you were good with us the last time. Come on back. And he'll go up there for sure. If you're going to be playing in front of 1,300 people, at a Carmel High School every Saturday, then shit, you might as well go back to Oregon. Just something to watch,
yeah,
just in case if Cristobal has a down season.
Yeah, all that Nike money up in Oregon too could be an influence and a draw. Again, UCLA and Los Angeles is a major market, but in that market, UCLA basketball is primary, you know, it's primary sport for that school, and then like I said, football. Football runs, it's USC first kind of town. So,
yep.
But I know, I think they have a good season, man. I can't wait to see more of Chip Kelly on the sideline and run up score on folks.
Yeah. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, their quarterback, he played a hell of a game there on Saturday afternoon. I love that we had different games on. John, I went 4-1 in my bets on Saturday. Now, some will say that it was a pretty easy slate, which most of the time it was, but Fresno State looked great. And the worst team, John, the worst team in college football is the UConn Huskies. They are, John, they may not even, they're not going to win a game this year. I guarantee it. They ain't going to win a game. And not Temple. We'll get to them. We'll get to Temple because I got called out. Not Temple, but UConn. I think they play Temple this year, actually. I have to look at their schedule. But UConn, John, they can't get out of their own way. They looked horrific. And also, John, they didn't even play football last year. They sat out the entire year. because of COVID.
Right.
So,
right.
Shit, they rusty as hell coming in. They got smacked by was it Fresno State the other night? Ooh, buddy.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
That's Boilers on Saturday.
Not this Saturday.
It's not. I thought it was. Oh no, it's the 10th. That's right. That's right.
Nah, Pac-12 comes to town.
Okay.
Pac-12 comes to town. But hey, anyways, Fresno State I thought looked good. They're about as good as I. They covered the spread easily. I think it was 27.5, and they didn't take the over, but I definitely covered the spread. And then the other game, what was the other game we hit on? I'm trying to think what it was. Can't think of it. But anyways, some news and notes before we get our picks in here in the next 5 minutes with Tanner and everything. Jimbo Fisher, John, Texas A&M, he signed that contract extension and took a pay raise at Texas A&M. So they are invested with him, or at least they show that they are. I was listening today on a Sirius XM radio to an SEC guy, and I'm not talking about Paul Feinbaum at all, but I was listening to an SEC guy, and, your buddy, and he said, don't be surprised. The only reason that they believe that Texas A&M upped the contract right now for Jimbo Fisher is to keep him out of Baton Rouge possibly in the next year or two.
Keep him out of battle. Keep him out of LSU.
Yeah, because it might be one more year or so for Coach O down there.
Yeah,
which is smart for A&M trying to load him up, and you know that bus of that buyout's expensive as hell.
Right, right. But when they give you that contract, dude, they expect more than just you staying there. They expect you to be the somebody of the world,
right.
And I just can't use that excuse, saying this year. This is a lesser, I know I'm going to get in trouble with the Bama fans. This is a lesser Bama team this year. And, even though Georgia, I think me and you kind of discussed it a couple shows ago that we think Georgia's going to win the SEC.
Yep.
Jimbo Fisher, you got to get that team. You got to win. You got to lay claim to what brought you to Texas A&M in the first place. You left Florida State. You left a good time. And Jameis Winston's and the crab legs and all that.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? you left all that to come here to play to come in third? No, surely not. So I hope Jimbo Fisher can make it, competitive.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. It makes sense that you're trying to lock him up now before LSU, because I can see the LSU Coach O thing ending here the next year or two. Possibly if things don't work out. They had a really bad season last year. You can blame that on COVID, but this year is probably not going to start out as great for them either. But before we take Tanner's call, before Tanner calls in, we got Reggie. Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls. Reggie, you got 5 minutes. What's going on?
Oh, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I'm up here sitting waiting for my son to come out of Avon High School football to take him home. But, I just called into the show, and I'm seeing some of the stuff that you're saying. I think LSU's problem last year was they lost a lot of talent, if you look back. And I think that the coach, he's going to get one more year. And Texas A&M is used to finishing third. Now, if he was at Texas, Texas don't care who they fire. They like Notre Dame. They will fire you in a heartbeat.
True.
And I agree with you. And I don't care what an Alabama fan say. I don't care what D-Cos say. Alabama will not win the SEC. And you heard it here first. Bet money on it. They won't win it. I'm going to go with Georgia like y'all or somebody else. I just can't see Alabama winning it. Their luck ain't that good. Everybody getting paid now. Alabama been paying them since 2009. Didn't they suck for like 15 years? Then they got good again? we're all Alabama fans 15 years ago. You didn't even see an Alabama bumper sticker, let alone Alabama hat. D-Cos was cheering for Notre Dame back then. D-Cos was cheering for LeBron James in Cleveland back then. Saying what I know.
Don't be
information that I know.
Telling
you the fact. I ain't going to lie.
Reggie.
I ain't going to lie to you.
Alabama still got a good defense. They got a new quarterback.
Yeah,
they got new They got new running backs, new receivers. You know what I mean? All those dudes are 5 stars and 4 stars. God bless them, right?
And SEC is not about your defense. It's about what your offense is going to do for you today. And we all know that.
Oh,
it
man.
Ain't about the defense. It's about the offense.
Well, we're going to find out.
Defense used to win games.
They got Miami this weekend. They're going to kick Miami under 14. I'm telling you.
You think so?
Oh,
so I need
real.
To take Alabama and I'm going to go with Reef because, you know, I need to take Alabama giving away the points, Reef.
It's 18.5 right now. I would say give the 18.5. I like Alabama to win by more than that. I really do.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And you know what? Luckily,
it's a different, year for Saban. It's a different year for them. I know they used to say their defense was like shredded cheese last year and all, and their offense was high power, but I think we get back to the Alabamas of the 20, the 21-point games, the 28, you know, the 35.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
right.
Not going to be as high scoring.
Okay.
That defense is way improved. If you don't think Nick Saban improved that defense this past offseason, then we're all crazy.
Okay. Can I switch to baseball for a quick second?
Yeah, go ahead.
My Dodgers are looking really, really good, and I want to know why. Why don't nobody go to Reds games? We're battling for a wild card position, and nobody's even at the games.
Because we like those cheap tickets. We like those cheap tickets when we can go for $15. Everybody's in cahoots with it.
Wait a minute, Reg. How you like the Dodgers? The Dodgers are an all-star team, are they not? The Dodgers ain't got nothing but stars. That's the stars. You always criticize basketball team. You always criticize any basketball team that has more than 2 stars.
Hey, during the down years, I was still with the Dodgers. I didn't leave to go with nobody else. I mean, I did like the Mets, and I do kind of like the Reds a little bit and the White Sox, but the Dodgers were my team. I would never cheer for another team to beat my Dodgers. I've been a Dodgers fan since Steve Garvey, Dusty Baker, and all them guys. That's how long. My mama let me stay up late one night in 1978 to watch the Dodgers and the Yankees on Channel 6 when Reggie Jackson – cheated the Dodgers out of the World Series. We were up 2-0, and he messed around on first base and deflected that ball. That's how long I've been a Dodgers fan, forever, you know?
Yeah.
I got you.
Reggie, I got one thing for you. So we have our guest that's getting ready to go on here in a second. I haven't got 20 minutes with him because then you can call back later if you need to. But, hey, I want to give you props, my man, because the fact, number one, first, the fact that I'm getting dodged for playing golf with you for some reason still, but congrats to you, my guy, because if what I saw was true, congratulations on your first hole-in-one.
Thank you. It's very true. 114 yards out, Saddlebrook. It was on hole number 4, par 3. I used my 50-degree, hit it to the left a little bit, and it rolled right down into the cup. It's a moment I will never forget in history. Never.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Something I have yet to do.
Don't take Gerald Cox's phone call today.
he'll be on the back end of our interview, so he'll be in. If you want to listen in, he'll be on about close to 7.
All right, cool. I'll talk to y'all later.
Hey, Reggie.
Oh my.
All right, that's Reggie Sykes. Now, John, my God, we go from crazy back to crazy. We're going to bring in our reoccurring guest now, John. We haven't had him on since last football season, and here's his intro.
That I'm the dirtiest player in the game. The dirtiest. I'm writing a book right now. The dirtiest player in the game. I will stop at nothing to stay on top. Stop at nothing. I will not move out of that big house. I will drive nothing but Mercedes or Rolls Royce. I won't go nowhere on a commercial airliner. I will ride in nothing but limousines, and I will make love to nothing but the best-looking women in the world. You know why? Because I'm a winner at all costs.
A winner at all costs. Tanner Penrod, my guy, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Reef. It's been a minute. I think
it
I might update, update that intro. I got a new one I think I want to do.
Oh, okay, here we go. So I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, don't tell me it's no best in the world stuff.
No, because it's got to be that Stone Cold music, because when you hear that glass, it's gonna be your ass, and that's all I'm on when you know you hear it.
I love it. Tanner, college football is back. We just had week zero. The smorgasbord of games actually starts tonight with the UAB game against Jacksonville State. And then we got games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Either everybody's going to go up a lot of money, or hell, people are going to be losing a lot of money before the end of the first week. We're hoping for the latter. Big games this week. We'll do our picks here. I got a few games I want to point out that's not on our list to bet on our list here.
Okay.
That I kind of want to talk about that I like, John and Tanner. I was all over this team before the season in our ACC preview that me and John had, how I loved North Carolina and I loved Sam Howell, Heisman candidate, Mac Brown, that this was the year North Carolina was going to be up there, finishing close to Clemson, maybe even topping them if they get to the ACC championship with them. But as this line has moved, I have liked Virginia Tech more and more. Virginia Tech at home, Blacksburg, night game. I believe it's a night game. The blackout.
Yeah, I think
plus
it's a six o'clock start. It's a 6 o'clock start.
They're getting 5 points at home against North Carolina. God, I love the points in that game. I love Virginia Tech.
I know. I was listening to the Bear and Stanford Steve, and they were like, you can't touch this game. It's like, I think I saw it at 5.5 on a couple. I mean, I think North Carolina wins that game, but I think it might happen in overtime. It's going to be tight. They've lost. I was looking at this. North Carolina's lost the last two times in Blacksburg.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you remember, I think one of those games was a 6 overtime game, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
Yeah, that's right. And they've been high scoring. Like last year it was high scoring in North Carolina. They won in Chapel Hill, but it was like 56-45. So
yeah.
I think the over-under is around in the upper 60s, so some people might be intrigued with the over just from what happened last year. But I've been researching. They said North Carolina's defense has been up a little bit, but I'll see it when I watch them on Friday.
Okay. Another one I like is, and me and John kind of talked about Illinois-Nebraska, that game last weekend, how I was already on pins and needles with the spread and the over-under. But I like Texas-San Antonio. I like the Roadrunners getting 7.5 points against Illinois this year. Illinois is not good. I think people have a false hope on Illinois because they beat a Nebraska team. I think Nebraska just got in their own way with all their turnovers that were stupid turnovers. Illinois is a bad team.
Right.
They are bad. I like Texas-San Antonio to get that 7.5. Give me the hook. I think they beat Illinois, if not even cover it.
I got a little preview. I didn't get to watch it all. I watched like the first half of that Nebraska-Illinois game. And, I figured that Martinez dude would be better. He's been there a long time at Nebraska, but they just didn't look good at all.
Hey, John, told you. John had to correct me earlier because Martinez, it was his cousin or his brother was the player from 2014 or whatever.
It's not the same one. I was like, I thought it was like a Greg Paulus thing where you were just there for 7 years and you could just keep staying there.
Oh, here we go. Already the first cheap shot at Duke.
Yeah, I just figured they just had unlimited scholarships and they just kept playing there. No eligibility.
Would not surprise me. That's two I like. A third one, and I was told to stay away from this game, but I just can't do it on a Sunday. On a Sunday, I got to play it. Ole Miss, -8 against Louisville. I don't think Kevin Satterfield, I don't think their defense has gotten any better. It doesn't look like he wanted to coach them last year. When they asked him what the best thing about living in Louisville was, he said how close he was to the airport. So if you answer that, hell, he don't want to be there any much as himself. But I like Lane Train. I like Corrala.
Yeah.
Corrala as the quarterback. I think they cover the -8. But I don't know about Louisville's offense. It's a little sus for me. And being the first game, I'm going to take under 75.5 in that one.
I like that. I haven't looked too much into that game yet. I do like I do like Kiffin, though. I know he's bounced around everywhere for some reason. I just like him for some reason.
I got to get a train. So, and he's dropped 30 pounds. So,
yeah.
Skinny Kip.
Oh, I heard about that. I did read that. He is down from LB.
He said if he's going to get his team to train.
Girls.
Yeah, he said if he's going to get his team to be in shape, he's got to get himself in shape. And he's the number one coach, college football coach, in SEC and Crossroads listening. So me and John are going to get him on. We'll get the last train.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, work some magic. I'd definitely tune in to hear what L Train had to say, for sure.
All right, boys.
I like the under 75 now that I'm looking at it. I just don't know what Louisville, I mean, Bobby Petrino didn't do much here. So I'd like, they got a lot to prove. I don't know if they can hang a 30. I believe Kiffin and them can hang 30 easy, but I don't know about Louisville hanging 30.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dive into these picks right now on the Facebook Live page. People will see my picks for it. We're going against this year, myself, Jonathan, and Tanner. First game, Thursday night. Hey, we got to go with our alma mater, Ball State Cardinals. They were -25.5, I have on the sheet, but now it's jumped up to -32.5. So I don't know what the hell's happened in this spread. But, 32.5 now. It was 25.5. Hell, I ain't going against it. I think I'm going to take the Cards to cover that. But we'll do the purposes of what we have on our sheet here. So we'll say Ball State -25.5. I got the Cards.
All right. I did get this little thing. Ball State, they've won 11 consecutive home openers. They've been averaging like 40-plus points. Visitors have been averaging around 20. I'm going to go against the odds because I'd say if that's the case, that's not close enough to 25. But I don't know. I think with all those seniors coming back due to those COVID rules, I think that good Ball State has a lot to show after that good win and the good season they had last year. I'll take Cardinals -5.5.
Okay. John?
Ooh, Western Illinois must be playing somebody like, you know, saying look like me. You know, my goodness, man. Ball State's going to win this game, hands down. The MAC is Ball State's kind of lose this year. I don't think they have a real – they'll have a challenge, you know what I'm saying, when they play Penn State, and even when they play Wyoming in a couple weeks or so. But as far as this is a home opener, you know what I'm saying, I like what's his name, Drew Klitt, to, you know what I'm saying, to and crew and company to, you know what I'm saying, put the stamp down and get the victory against Western Illinois.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell it jumped up to 32.5 from 25.5, but
their quarterback must have got hurt or something.
Something, unless they looked at film for Western Illinois and they already played a game against Bishop Sycamore. I don't know.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
But by the way, Bishop, before we continue, isn't that a crazy story, John? That about Bishop Sycamore? That these are grown men. Grown men getting their ass beat by high school kids.
I'm glad they bamboozled ESPN. They deserved it. ESPN deserves to get hooked like that.
Uh-oh.
It's a shame.
They're going to cut our feet. They're going to cut our feet if they keep that up. Sorry, I'm choking on water. Next game on Friday night. Gentlemen, I went both ways on this one. Number 4, Ohio State,
I don't know what game you're talking about.
-13.5, going up to Minnesota against Row the Boat Fleck. 13.5, Buckeyes, I can see this going two ways. I can see an Ohio State going out and insert their dominance because these wide receivers for Ohio State and this freshman quarterback, I think are going to be damn good this year. I think I got them in the college football playoff. I don't know. Is it one of those that Ryan Day just says, hey, let's go in, it's the first game, knock the rust off, and – we win by 11 or 10. Is it one of those? Regardless, you never made money when you bet against Urban Meyer when he was at Ohio State, and I'm going to say the same thing against Ryan Day in Ohio State. I'll take the Buckeyes minus the 13.5.
All right, Jonathan, you want to go or you want me to?
I'll go, man. If this was like the game 5 or game 6 of the regular season, Ohio State and Minnesota had time to warm up for it, I would absolutely go with Row the Boat. I don't know. I don't. obviously he's going to have those guys geeked up, man. He's an energy kind of coach, you know what I mean? I just don't think they have enough talent in all three phases, you know what I'm saying, offense, defense, and special teams to keep up with Ohio State. I think it'll be close in the first half, and then Ohio State, you know what I'm saying, it won't be a blowout, but then Ohio State shows you that's why they're, the, you know what I'm saying, the potential top program in this. Well, yeah, potential the Big Ten champions this year. So I like Ohio State to win, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, that point spread, I would be leery of.
Okay.
I agree, Tanner, with you there. I agree. I have all my notes, it says, don't touch this game. So if I was going to go, I think, like he said, I think it's going to be close. It's going to take T.J. Stroud and that offense to kind of get in sync. So I think they're going to start out slow. If I had to pick a side to pick, I'm going to pick Ohio State, laying the points. But I wouldn't be shocked if Minnesota somehow hung on there and covered.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I said it was dangerous to pick this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, but also I could see with like 5 minutes to go, Ohio State trying to, you know, work an offense and run out the clock and get a first down, and then all of a sudden one of these wide receivers or running back breaks it, and then they win by 16, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree. So, it's a don't touch for me, but if I had to pick, I'd go Ohio State. Yeah, I would definitely, okay, if you got a money line parlay, I'd put Ohio State in there. You can toss them in there if you're trying to do
sure.
that.
For sure. I like that as well. One of my favorite matchups I'm looking forward to, number 19, Penn State at number 12, Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 4.5-point favorite. Give me the Badgers all day. I think they win by at least a touchdown. I'll give you the 4.5.
I'm with you. I'll make it quick and easy. I think Badgers win by a touchdown at least in that game.
John.
I'm going to go the other way, man, because I think the talent level is equal on both sides. Penn State, you know what I'm saying, they needed to look in the mirror all offseason, had to. And we had to be disappointed how last season kind of, you know what I'm saying, panned out for them. What better way to make a statement, you know what I'm saying, game one on the road against, you know what I'm saying, a conference rival, you know what I mean? So I'm going to take Penn State.
Okay. Wow, there's a little thing. John thinks you think Penn State going to win the game, or you think they just cover the points?
I got Penn State winning the game.
Okay.
He straight up hit me with a lead corso not so fast on both.
he did. So if you listen to Jonathan for this game, go ahead and put a little bit on Penn State money line. I'm sure that is looking pretty nifty right now. You could probably get some decent value out of that. So Indiana Hoosiers, number 17, Hoosiers at number 18, Iowa. Guys, this game started as a 4.5-point spread. It went down to 3.5. I'm seeing threes. The line is moving towards Indiana, but that's not swaying me any. I think Iowa wins this, and I think I get a push by 3.
Yep. All right, I'm going to agree with you here. I'm going to give a quick little shout-out to Amy Fuller, who loves the Hoosiers, and we hosted a birthday party for her. So I told her I'd give her a quick shout-out. This is my thing. If you get the Hoosiers at 3.5, I would take them there. But if the line stays at 3, I'm with you. Night game in Iowa, laying 3. You got to take the Hawkeyes right there, especially at night. Hard
even at the kids, of course.
Yep.
John?
How could you Hoosiers go against the Indiana football team? How could you? Iowa does have a dynamic running back in Tyler Goodson, who's probably going to get all Big Ten honors this year again. But Indiana's back with Michael Penix Jr., you know what I'm saying, as long as he's upright, you know what I'm saying, and 100%, with, you know, say injury-free, rather, and Tri-Fi Fogel, the wide receiver, who's also a playmaker for this team. Close game. They ain't going to get no luck from a referee botch this year, you know what I'm saying. Nobody's that lucky 2 years in a row like they did last year against Penn State, so... I think Indiana. I don't think Iowa can throw it down the field. I don't have any faith in their passing game. So that doesn't mean they won't be able to score points. Like I said, Tyler Goodson's gonna run a probably a 250 on the Hoosiers on the ground. sure. But like I said, I think Indiana wins the game closely.
Wow. Wow. Going two on us here. Here's a little fun fact for you. Not so fast, my friend. Indiana is opening the season versus a Big Ten opponent in back-to-back years for the first time since 81 and 82. They've dropped their last three games versus Iowa. They're 0-3 against the spread against Iowa. And then also the last time they won was 45-29 when they were a +3 underdog. So, and Iowa has not been good to the Hoosiers the last three times there. So fun fact there. Switching gears now, going to the SEC conference, the number one team in the country, Alabama, the Crimson Tide. Tanner, I still need to get to a game down in Tuscaloosa with you. I'm still jealous of that game you went to. They take on number 17, Miami. It looks good on paper, gentlemen. 18.5 is the spread for Bama. Like I said, I think we get the old Alabama of scoring the 35 or the 28 and the 42 points maybe. I can see them just busting the door up on this Miami team, because besides Derek King, I don't know what this Miami squad has. This ain't Michael Irvin. This ain't Reggie Wayne. This ain't Edgerrin James. This ain't even Ken Dorsey or Willis McGahee. I've got Alabama covering the 18.5 in game one. I think Saban wants to put a statement out there. And I know I said this is going to be a low-scoring game, damn it, but it may be 42-7.
I want to get a quick one. I'm just going to ditto you there. I think they win. They might get some late touchdowns on them. I'm calling 51-31, Roll Tide all day long. It might take them a minute to get used to Bill O'Brien and the good quarterback back there. But once that gets going, I think Bama's defense is too tough, and they're just going to shut down that. If that quick pace offense Miami tries to do, I mean, look what Alabama's done in the past. People that try to run that hurry up, they've shut it down. If they try to do that again and they shut them down, they're going to be going three and out so fast. Bama's going to be running that ball right down their throat, and Miami's defense is going to be dead by the second quarter.
Tanner, I'll give you one added one real quick before John goes on this. I do like Alabama first half. If it's -9.5 or -10, I do like my Alabama first halves have hit. I don't know how many years in a row now, seems like.
I'll ditto that. I think in 2019 I went like 10-1 on Alabama first half.
It hit every time. So I don't know what it is. I haven't looked at it, but if you want to add another one, Alabama -9.5 or 10, whatever the first half spread is, you can't go wrong there. Jonathan, your pick.
Man, there's no way I would take Miami in this game. You know, I mean, no way unless you know I had a son or somebody play for the Bay. You know what I mean? Unless I had a vested interest. I just don't necessarily like the 18-point spread. I think it's a little bit closer. Maybe I think it is. I can say that confidently. King is the playmaker for Miami. They do have a talented offensive line. There's some other question marks they might have. I get what you're saying, Brandon, wide receiver and running back as well. But King is their playmaker. They would need a huge game out of him. A huge game, like unforgettable game, in order for them to beat Miami. In order to beat Bama. Bama has a better defense, and that's why I think they keep him corralled, but I don't think they keep him, from showing his talent, if that kind of makes sense. I think we'll see what kind of star he can potentially be. Even against Alabama. With that being said, I said 14, two touchdowns. I know the spread is 18 or so. It probably, but take Bama. Take Bama. But like I said, I think Miami keeps it kind of close. How about that?
So you think Bama wins the game, but you think Miami stays within the spread. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
So your pick is the spread of Miami is taking Miami. So that's fine. It's on the record. But you do believe Bama will win. That's fine. I've got some of those games, I'm sure, this year. I'm going to think it's ugly as hell, but I think teams cover. So that way nobody, no Alabama fan can blast your ass and say, how the hell did you take Miami over Alabama? Well, idiot, listen, it's the spread, not straight up. We've moved on from those years. It's a betting America now. All right, guys, one of my favorite games. I told John it's a little sleeper pick. I think it's upset worthy. Number 16, LSU, a 4-point favorite, going to UCLA to take on Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly and them played last week. They looked great last week. Kelly brought the visor back. You know, when visor Kelly's back, that the team is back. LSU is going to be their first game. They're going to come out a little rusty. I think other things are on their mind with Hurricane Ida that hit through Louisiana. Family members, how they're doing, the flood victims. Right. I think they got too much on their mind to go all the way out West Coast to take on UCLA. I like UCLA plus the 4, and I like UCLA money line this week.
Not so fast. Go Tigers.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
All
I think it's one of those things again. I think it goes to the where they try to do that hurry up. Chip Kelly loves that fast offense. I think those SEC schools got used to it, and I think they can shut them down. I think if that happens, they're in trouble. And I think LSU definitely has the better defense. SEC, I hate – this is my thing. I refuse to pick against the SEC, a top 25 program against any other conference. They're elite, and the other guys are amateurs, I feel like. So I'm going with the Tigers on the road. Yep. Going to get a good win and bring it right back in there to Happy Valley. I mean, Valley, right there. Where,
That's same thing. John, your pick.
No, I took when with Randy earlier. I took I took UCLA, man. I think this is another example of what Chip Kelly won the show that he's back, and but another statement game type of situation. You know what I mean? He wanted to be a blowout as many points as he did against Hawaii. No. But I just don't know what I don't know what else you got left in the tank offensively. You say Tanner bring up a good point. They are the better team probably defensively, but you know what I'm saying, unless their defense starts scoring 2 touchdowns for you, I don't think their offense they can keep up. So I'm taking UCLA.
Perfect. I like a little deception there. Me and Tanner, first pick that we've had different. I like that. Monday night. Notre Dame, number 9 Notre Dame, 7.5-point favorites going to Florida State. It was at 9.5. It's moved down to 7.5. The line is moving towards Florida State, guys. I would love to have more confidence in Florida State in this game at home, but I don't know what the hell to expect out of this Florida State team this year, especially with the crisis they've been in for the last 2 years, it seemed like. The spread's moved from 9.5 to 7.5. It hasn't went down to a 7 yet. I think Notre Dame wins the game, but I think Florida State, give me the 0.5 to cover it. Maybe they lose by 7, and I cover the spread.
All right, I'll go real quick because this is probably my game of the week. You can put a house payment on it, a condo payment on there. Notre Dame is going to go down there. Take that renegade horse and that flaming Seminole and cram it right back up their ass down there in Tallahassee.
You think they're going to blow them out?
You can go ahead. You can go ahead. Put a bet in on this. I don't think Notre Dame will. I'm not going to. They're going to have a struggle. I think they go 8-4. That's my team.
Oh, I think. I think they're below 9 wins all year. I do.
Yeah. I think they go 8-4. But they do have a Heisman candidate. That backfield's probably one of the best in the country. If Florida State can't stop that run, they're going to go for 300 on the ground, and they're absolutely going to dog walk Florida State on their home opener, and it's going to be a long season for all those Seminole fans. They're going to RIP to Bobby Bowden, but they're going to wish he was back there coaching those guys.
Okay. John?
Yeah, Florida averaged last year like 25 points a game, but they gave up 36 last year. They pretty much got the same group of individuals come back. They do have some defensive standouts, you know what I mean? Littered through it here, littered at cornerback, and littered, and they even had a pretty decent receiving duo with Wilson and McDonald. But they got a horrible – they had a horrible offensive line. And there's necessarily no indicator saying that got even better. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, there's no reason why I would take – there's no reason anybody should take Florida State. They'll keep it honest, again, just because they have, you know what I'm saying, heads – they got better athletes.
They just don't have it all put together. They don't have better. They don't have, you know, cohesiveness. How about that? So again, you know, it ain't like no. I mean, I like Chip Kelly. Sorry, Chip Kelly. Brian Kelly. I think he's one of the better coaches, obviously, in the nation. And I actually do got them winning 9 games this year. But again, that's something we can discuss later. But they take care of business against Florida State this weekend for sure.
Okay. So they cover the spread. All right. All right, so you got 2 on Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame, to say it again, I think Notre Dame wins the game. I just think I think Florida State maybe – I'm going to not put a condo on it, no steamer, but I'm going to take – I think give me – Florida State, show me something. Show me something before I throw you in the trash for the year and do it this week. All right, guys, 2 games left to pick on. So we got a Saturday night Pac-12 Big Ten showdown, if you want to call it a showdown, at Ross-Ade Stadium. Oregon State, the Beavers are coming to take on the Boilermakers. Boilermakers, 7-point favorites. The last time these two teams played, guys, 57 years ago, the Boilermakers lost to Oregon State. The Boilers were number 2 in the country when they lost to them. I got to believe that this team wants payback against Oregon State. I think Boilers win the game and cover it against Oregon State. I like this, the offense, Aiden O'Connell. Jack Plummer, starting quarterback for the Boilermakers. I love Boilers to win the home opener. They need it. Brom can't lose this year. They have to win.
Right.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Nah, man. Purdue got off with not only just, you know, saying Jake Plummer's dad, the best wideout in the last couple of years. Rondell Moore returns, right? So
I know. Rondell's gone. David Bell.
David Bell.
Rondell's with the Cardinals.
Damn it. I get them confused. Shame on me. Anyway, they do got 9 starters coming back on offense, right? We all know, you know what I'm saying, anytime the older you are, the better you are, experienced you are. Oregon State, what do they have in the passing game to offer, you know? It plus it's on the road, far, far, far away from home. I take Purdue. And I think Purdue covers the spread.
Yeah, they have to improve their running game. The last 2 years, their offense, they're averaging 83 yards and 82 yards of offense rushing. That has to improve this season for the Boilermakers. Xander Horvath is the lead back. They have to have a running game if Jeff Brohm and them want to try to get back to a bowl game, and he wants to save his job. They have to. Tanner?
Yeah, well, I've gone chalk all night. First night, I'm going to go ahead and just take the underdog here. We'll take Oregon State here.
Oh,
We'll back the Beavers over here. I think Purdue wins, but for some reason, I don't know if they shake the Cowboys. It's early on. I've never really seen them put the pedal down on somebody and blow them out. So I think they can keep in a – I think Purdue probably wins this game just because it's at home. But I think Oregon State can cover the 7.
Okay, perfect. Last game, guys, probably the marquee game of the weekend. Number 5, Georgia at number 3, Clemson. Spreads went from 3.5 down to 3. Clemson by 3 right now is what they're saying. I would be a complete idiot if I went against my pick that I've been picking a couple weeks ago for the national championship. I think Georgia, this is the year of Georgia. Their offense, their defense, it's finally put all together. I love their schedule after they get done with this Clemson game. I've got them in the Final 4. I've got them in the national championship and damn near to win the thing, either them or Oklahoma. But I like Georgia. Give me the 3 points. I'm getting 3 and Georgia. Let's do it. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. I've actually been torn between this one, so I don't even want to give a pick. I've been back and forth the last 2 days thinking about who I want to take in this game. I feel like Clemson's probably going to be in there. But I think Georgia's in there, too. I think JT Daniels, I think, back there. And like you said, I have Georgia playing Bama in that title game for the SEC championship. I'll ride it with you. I'll ride the underdog. We'll take Georgia getting the 3 points. I like that, too. I think you kind of swayed me there with your little tactics. So I'll go Georgia with you on this one.
John?
It's okay. Georgia to lose early. It's not okay to lose late. I think this is a game that goes down to the wire. It kind of it goes to who the best coach. The best coach team is Clemson's team. I think you're going to see two guys, DJ Uzulele. I know I messed up his last name.
Ooh, no, you did a good job there.
From Clemson and JT Daniels from Georgia. You're going to see these are top. If we had five candidates for the Heisman Trophy, these two are in the top five, right? I just like Clemson a little bit better at Charlotte. That's what I mean. The game's in Charlotte.
Yeah.
I like Clemson. It's not that it's going to be, man, Clemson went out there and just, you know what I'm saying, whacked him by 25 or 30 or whatever. It's going to be a nip-and-tuck game. Now, what we'll see is, can Clemson run the ball now that the defections, now that my guy went to the NFL, you know what I'm saying, because, they got a quarterback. That kid, DJ Uzulele, honestly, probably would have been in top three. If sophomores could come out, right? If young guys could come out in the draft, he probably been top three pick this particular year. He's potentially that kind of good, right? But can they run the ball like they've had in years past, complementary with the running, you know what I'm saying, with quarterback running back play? That remains to be seen. So that makes him kind of pass happy. He's up for the task. If we remember the Notre Dame game, it was like double overtime. He threw for like 400 yards. You
yep.
know what I mean? But I like I said, I do like Clemson. I just like Georgia over the long haul. If that's not trying to get any favor with the SEC fans that are listening to the show, but for this particular game, I like Clemson to win.
Yeah, I like that because their schedule set up perfectly. So I like it, boys. We've got our picks for week one. They'll be posted on the Facebook page, on the Twitter accounts. Follow us along all weekend, and then we can banter back next week of what the hell went right, what the hell went wrong. Here's a little tickler. Here's a little file for the tickler for the next week. Early spread I see for Ball State at Penn State next week, +20.5. Ball State +20.5. Ball State is 3-29-1 straight up all time against Big Ten teams. All three of their wins have been against the Hoosiers, but they're 7-1 against the spread versus those teams. The Cardinals are 0-7 straight up versus the Power Five, but they're 6-1 against the spread. So right now at the 20.5. Next week when we do our show, we'll see what that spread's moved to.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, and I'll be looking forward to next call week, and we'll see if I was a winner or a loser.
All right, Tanner. Take care, buddy. Good having you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys. Yep. See you.
All right, that's Tanner Penrod, our college football guy. John, it felt good to get Tanner back in the realm. We're talking college football. We're talking picks. I'm kind of scared. Hell, we align on most of our picks here. There's a few different ones, but I'm excited. We got football here.
Yeah, y'all don't believe in Indiana, but we history books say suggest that they won't win. But I like the Hoosiers against Iowa. So I guess I can say
that we're good teachers because you're starting to adapt to the spreads in our lingo with the spreads on giving the points,
yeah.
Taking the points.
Yeah, now you know if somebody in my real life asks me, hey man, who you think is gonna win this game? I'm gonna tell them straight up. You know what I mean? But you know,
yeah.
for all intents and purposes, man, you know what I'm saying, when we're talking spreads, of course, you know what I'm saying, you have to, you know.
Right. Now you could take straight up, but I mean. Some of these games are probably like -400, so you would have to bet, and for our beginners out there, you'd have to bet $4 to win $1. So you have to put
right.
more money to risk for them to win $1, and it's not really a point to take those money lines on that. So we're going to do a quick ad read. John, we come back. We'll continue. You're listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, episode number 179, with myself and Jonathan Birdsong.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also, we want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. As I said, they ship worldwide. They do custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting in your car, make it look all nice and shiny, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Check them out, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Check out their Facebook page. Check out their Instagram. You can get a hold of them that way as well. Great, great sponsor. Thank you, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. All right, John, we are back. And as we are back here, if I can get to the phone calls, we got our guy from the KFAB Connection, Fred Fellner, joining us. Fred, what's going on?
What up, though? How's it going, fellas?
What's going on, Fred?
No, man, just driving over to Jet in Carmel, picking up my $5 special before the Dynamite episode. So you know how it goes. It's Wednesday. You know what that means.
Ha-ha. Exactly. Fred, what's your thoughts as we're coming closer and closer to the pay-per-view? Jericho, boy, we saw this coming, going to put his career on the line against MJF. Is he going to transition just to the announcing booth? Or if he wins, because if he wins here, I don't know where you move this rivalry to again, because I feel like it's went almost every way possibly it could go.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Jericho just go over to the, you know, the commentary desk. He has nothing left to prove in the business. He's done everything. There's really nothing. His last good run, you know, going into New Japan and wrestling Tanahashi, the feud with Omega, he's not going to be able to top that. I don't really think. I mean, even the new guys that are coming in, that are the rumored guys that are coming into AEW, I mean, I don't care about seeing Punk and Jericho against each other. So it's just kind of one of those things. I think it's a good feather in the hat to the end of his career, and I would really like to see him put MJF over and, you know, make that transition.
Okay. John?
Yeah, we've seen Jericho and CM Punk before. Back in,
was it 2011, 2012?
Yeah, we've seen that before. They actually had a pretty good program. I remember Jericho called him a drunk.
He did.
Yeah, you know, they were giving Punk like breathalyzers and like sobriety tests on Raw. Like, man,
straight edge society.
Yeah. So they've done. You know, what I'm saying, Jericho called him a copycat because they do have a similar path to success with nobody believing blah 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 because they were quote unquote vanilla midgets whatnot. But nah, man, for anybody, you know what I'm saying, check the network. You know what I'm saying, for all those you know, great promos between Punk and Jericho. But like, nah, man, nobody kind of wants to really, you know what I'm saying, relive that. Not now. So yeah, I think Punk roles is to help, you know what I'm saying, AEW and AEW talent get over. He's already over. He seemingly doesn't have some of the things that all these other guys, I'm not saying he doesn't have an ego, but like, man, I watch, you know what I'm saying, Brandon and Fred, I watch a lot of, you know what I'm saying, Jim Cornette and even Conan and Disco Inferno show. I listen to it. And like from Rick, sorry, I enjoy it. From Ric Flair to Mick Foley to Hulk Hogan to Shawn Michaels, anybody who's been in the driver's seat has some type of politics. You know what I'm saying?
Some more so
than others. Hulk Hogan has some crazy politics, but like everybody has, you know what I'm saying, those guys, you know, the aforementioned guys I named have some great politics where, you know what I'm saying, you can see where they rub promoters and they rub their whole brand went out of business. So this doesn't seem like Punk is into any of that. He's into, you know, putting on a good show and, you know, getting pops and getting guys over. Because, again, you know what I'm saying, he's been gone for 7 years. You know what I mean? What does it look like he coming in saying, hey, I'm pulling the, you know, Kevin Nash when he came over to from Diesel to WCW and automatically in the top spot. You know what I'm saying? That automatically rubs the locker room the wrong way. So, again, he's over. He's here to help, you know what I'm saying, the company get over and the other guys in that locker room get over.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's going to be the most interesting thing about that match with Darby is just how much ring rust does he still have? And
right.
Just what kind of chemistry will he have with the new guys? So it's super intriguing. I'm hyped about the card. There's a couple things here and there, like the Christian feud with Omegas. I think it's actually off to the races now. It was kind of a slow start. But with the booking and stuff, it's really, I think it's got, it's a hot angle right now. And,
right.
You know, of course the Punk match and then Jericho MJF, there's a lot of intrigue. What'll happen? I think if we would have got the Hiroshi Tanahashi Mox match, that would have made it just put it over the top. And, you know, I think there's some people that are kind of salty that Hangman's not wrestling Omega. That time will come. I honestly think Full Gear, the next pay-per-view in St. Louis in November, I think that's honestly where we'll see kind of the end of the Elite's reign. I forget who to credit this to. I heard this idea tossed around, but that huge show in Queens at the Arthur Ashe Stadium on September 22nd, Bryan Danielson's supposed to be rumored for that show, but why not let Eddie Kingston, who's got that match with Miro, let him, you know, do the job at All Out, but have Eddie Kingston go over in Queens for the freaking belt. And
ooh,
not only Eddie Kingston, but can you imagine if LAX went over on, let's say, the Lucha Bros win at All Out against the Bucks? Just put LAX over, get LAX the title in Queens. Like, that would be that place, the roof would blow off that place. If you had Eddie Kingston and LAX both getting the straps that night and a Daniel Bryan sighting like that, yeah.
I'm halfway there with you. I like Eddie Kingston without a championship. He's, you know what I mean? Miro, man, they use Miro better. The last couple of years in WWE, they misused what was his name? I can't even remember his name when he was in WWE.
Rusev.
But, like, yeah, Rusev. But, like now, you know what I'm saying, they got him being a bully and he's talking crazy and, you know what I'm saying, I like him now. I kind of like him as a champ. So I don't know. I don't know about him going over. I like the fact that they booked him together. That was a little different, but I don't know about Eddie winning the title. I don't have any problems with LA, you know what I'm saying, with Ortiz and them winning. They've been kind of, you know, middling around, you know what I'm saying, in the shadows of Jericho, in the shadows of MJF far too long, you know what I'm saying? So they kind of need to stand out on their own. So I would definitely want them. I don't know about Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy being long-term champions. I don't want to get this turn case wrong. They're a novelty act. There's still some kinks that the Luchasaurus needs to work out. You know what I mean? He wants to be a luchador. I get it, but he's not necessarily the better. He's not the crispest luchador. You know what I mean? He needs to do more big man monster stuff, my personal opinion. You know what I mean? And then use the lucha as like I can do this type of stuff too, instead of always wanting to be a luchador. You know what I'm saying? Quick pace type of guy. But like, nah, man. But they've been over for a long time too. So them getting a short run with the belts would be kind of cool too. But like, nah, I definitely would want Santana Ortiz to that would be cool for them to win in New York for sure.
Yeah. I think that the future is real bright with AEW. There's really no sure bet on like what direction they're heading in. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of just kind of like, man, where are they going to go with a lot of these feuds? And so that's what makes it kind of exciting right now. So yeah, I'm super excited for All Out. I'll be calling back in 1 week from today with a report from, you know, putting my feet to the pavement at the Now Arena in Chicago. So I'm excited. They're selling ice cream bars too, so cat's out of the bag. They gave them away for free at the United Center. They're going to be selling them at All Out, so more ice cream bars.
Hey, interesting note I just saw this week. I saw it on Monday Night Raw the other night, that the fact that they are going on an NXT rebrand of the show, different colors, all this other crap. I don't know what the hell. And then I go to read an article today that says Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard to lead NXT production beginning later this month. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
You should have just left. Should have left well enough alone, man. I guess the ratings aren't good enough for them, you know what I mean, for whatever reason. But that's because they, you know, when they move people up, they don't keep their consistency. They don't keep their, like, so if you move a person up and he's great, he or she is great, then one thing you moved up to, I say moved up, you know, sort of moved down, whatever, to,
right,
to Raw or SmackDown. They lose their draw, what made them special in NXT. So then when they go back, then it makes like NXT, you make it like a weaker brand. You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
It does
they'll be responsible
for the big decisions with the brand moving forward, apart from McMahon and Pritchard heading up the production. The duo will also be behind the initiatives such as marketing, promotion, and direction, but their involvement and booking will likely be limited to the stars at the top of the brand.
So that means, man, what's going to happen with Samoa Joe? Because he got fired. He got fired from Raw. And then Triple H, you know what I'm saying, however you think about Triple H, man, again, talk about a guy with politics.
You like that picture I sent you, John?
What picture?
It said Paul Levesque is all elite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He showed him with the AEW logo.
Yeah, he won't believe it. But, like, nah, man, Triple H does know, who can draw. And then he brought Samoa Joe back over and put Samoa Joe in some great storylines, put Samoa Joe in some great matches, and it made sense, you know what I'm saying, for Samoa Joe. But, like, they don't like, you know, I don't know, man. I respect Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard, but this also ain't 1988 no more. You know what I mean? And they got that's kind of scary that they're going to be taking over NXT.
Dude, I'm just hyped that we might get Keenan Ivory Waynes as the new NXT GM with those in living color paint colors on the NXT logo. We might see Keenan Ivory Waynes as the NXT GM. We'll have the Fly Girls. Maybe they can get J-Lo to rock the Fly Girl outfit again.
She's going to
unretire. Do the Fly Girl shout out to the 90s. This is going over your young listeners' heads. They're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Yeah, it's hilarious to me. Like, just chalk it up as another, you know, this will be on disc 5 of the Rise and Fall of WWE DVD set. So another hilarious thing that's going on. Like, why, if it's not broke, why fix it? You know, that's it.
Right.
Like, no point. There's just no point to it.
Couple things for you, Fred, before we let you go. Number one, we got to recap. I got to know how we're feeling, A, going into the home opener against the 49ers, and B, the Colts putting the beatdown comeback on your Lions in the last preseason game.
Oh, that was hilarious. I mean, that's just to be expected. We got, like, fourth stringers trying to make practice squad, and you know, the year that the Lions went 0-16, they were 4-0 in the preseason. So the preseason isn't indicative of anything, really. What's hilarious also is that the Lions do not have a kicker right now.
What are they going to do with that?
To quote Coach Campbell, he said, we're just going to go for two every time. So we're going to be like a glorified high school team out there just going for two every time.
Every roster spot matters.
Well, and it's like we went from Jason Hansen to Matt Prater, like two just great kickers, to just not even any kicker on the roster. Like, there's just too many question marks for me this year. I was hyped, as you guys knew from different phone calls in the past, of like the new regime and the new kind of swagger and the new – but, I mean, that doesn't translate to the gridiron necessarily, and especially if you don't have key players. Like, who's the wide receiver this year? Who's Jared Goff throwing to? TJ Hawkinson, the tight end? Like, who's the slot?
Right.
Who's in the slot this year for the Lions? Who's going to make an impact out on the field? Swift in his second year, we're hoping to see big things out of Swift at running back. Our Penei Sewell kind of had a lackluster preseason.
I'm not gonna be one of those like the first take shows on ESPN and call them a bust and do all the barbershop banter, but it's like it's just we're just gonna see Sunday. And as a Lions fan, I'm dead inside. I'm absolutely numb emotionally as a football fan. So,
oh man,
I will be watching Sunday with a cheese ball, a Wisconsin cheese ball, and some club crackers and some snacks. You know, maybe some pumpkin beer. But I'm, you know, I'll be watching. It's the same thing with like Michigan this year, dude. This is the least hyped for Michigan football, I think, ever. And in fact, I'll be in Chicago when kickoff's happening. So, which is kind of usually the case. I'm usually at All Out when Michigan's opener is. So, as long as they don't pull an Appalachian State, you know, whatever. But man, just. It might be cold. It might be cold in the D once again for football season this year. So,
shout out the YouTube video.
Oh man, Michigan's a basketball state. We got Cade, and we got
there you go.
Basketball with Juwan. So we're bringing the feeling back for basketball. So that's it. There you go.
We got to do something for you. Get your hopes up. So we got a hail to Michigan, Jim Harbaugh. This is your year.
You're here to be
top 30.
Anybody but Ohio. I'll even pull for the Hoosiers. I'll even pull for the Hoosiers to come out of the Big Ten. I don't care as long as it's not Ohio.
Oh,
I mean, college football needs a makeover. I'm tired of the playoff being the same four teams over and over. It is so – it's like
they're
the Warriors
about to get
and
it.
Cavs. And it's
yeah,
the
of course
worst.
You guys get more of that, yeah.
It's
about
the
about to
worst,
get the makeover.
You know?
Okay.
Well, I'm glad,
perfect.
You know.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Fred, my guy, thank you for calling.
Appreciate it, as always, fellas. Thanks.
Take care.
We'll talk next week.
All right, Fred Felder, KFAP. Man, well, the season ain't even started yet, and Fred's already he's already done. He's already rolled over. He's already let him pet his belly.
I would tell Fred, man, at least. They don't have a kicker, but do the Colts have
that is insane.
A quarterback? More than two quarterbacks that's going to be
yeah.
be available on Sunday. I don't know.
Why don't they go out and get Eddie Pinero? Pinero had a good preseason with the Colts. They just gave it to Hot Rod. So Pinero, surely they're gonna hire a kicker before week one. We got what 2 weeks? It's weird. We have a week off before the season starts. So
right, they're going to get some cut guys. Give him a chance.
Yeah, typically the season starts right after the preseason, but with that only playing three preseason games, it's a week off to kind of reload and stuff, which I kind of like looking back into it. So Reggie Sykes says Michigan will suck. So there we have that. It's not gonna go bode too well for some of our Michigan fans we have. John, Colts news, T.Y. Hilton. Tell me if you haven't heard this before. T.Y. Hilton injured and will miss several games. With a neck injury in practice, he went on the IR today. He's out. Carson Wentz, Brian Kelly, and Pascal were all on the COVID reserve list for close contact. They could be back as early as tomorrow with the COVID stuff. Man, T.Y. out again. Same
I think
record.
He had a surgery, though. Yeah, I think he had a minor surgery today, too, to you know what I'm saying, to help out with some of the pain that he was dealing with. I just don't. When I first heard the news about him having a neck disc issue, that's more than an issue, ladies and gentlemen. As we all know, the Colts do not like sharing information about players' health. Going back from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck and you know what I'm saying, anybody else in between. So them saying that this was going to be he was having minor discomfort. I think this is kind of like them kind of lowballing it to let fans not. Necessarily freak out. The Colts do have, some depth at wide out when you think about some of the players that they have, but it's not necessarily depth that, it's 2 years into the league type of depth. You know what I mean? It's still like
right.
learning curve type of depth. You know what I'm saying? With Pascal, with some and Campbell Jr., and some of the other names. I don't think he made the cut. He had a decent preseason, but I don't even think he made the cut down. But like, no, nah, man. So it's going to be some more pressure on that wide receiver room. Going to be more pressure on that on the tight end room as well. The Colts. I don't know. The Colts. Again, man, they took more defensive linemen than this year than anybody. I think they got 11 defensive
right.
linemen, so they've loaded up. I think they're prepared for players getting hurt. And I think that's why.
So has your wins has your numbers changed now?
No, because no, it can't, man. There's no way. You know, I know anybody listening to this, Reggie and whoever else is a Colts fan out there of the show. Carson Wentz is not the kind of guy that can just turn it on. This is a reclamation project, right? And he didn't play any preseason. And he played how many practices did he have? Because he had an injured foot in surgery, was in and out. So, again, how can you get cohesiveness and continuity with the receivers and with the running back and with the offensive line? And, hell, even some of them are out because of COVID. Again, I'm not going to knock them. Anybody for not getting a shot or whatever, you know what I mean? But it leaves a bad taste in the fans' eyes and ears and mouth, all those things, when this reclamation guy, and he, I mean, again, like I said, there's other people on the team that ain't got the shot, Brandon. The Colts are, I'm not going to say only, the Colts are not 97% the vaccination rate players, but Carson is, you know what I'm saying, we see him as a leader of the team. Quarterbacks look a little bit differently, an important part. We have a great offensive line put together. Chris Ballard has put a great defensive line, you know what I'm saying, and secondary as well. But, again, all that's great if you have a great, you know what I'm saying, Maserati or I'm trying to say Porsche, but you ain't got no engine. You ain't got no driver, you know what I mean, or driver's unavailable. So, again, you know, Ellinger, you know what I'm saying, being injured doesn't help. I know he's going to be back at some point, but it's probably going to be more. He's probably going to miss more than like 6 or 7 games. Again, it's 17 games, but nobody wants to get in the hole or, you know what I'm saying, that far in the hole. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, Brandon. You know, it doesn't seem like Carson's going to get vaccinated anytime soon. So this could potentially be a continuing thing where he's in and out of the lineup. And if that's the case, man, I think the Colts fans might turn on him.
Okay. Wow.
Because,
wow. Yeah. I mean, it's you're 100% right, because if they're not vaccinated and they're in a close contact, then you have the NFL says you have to sit out. And just imagine if it goes positive and there's game forfeitures. There's no moving games around. So
right.
That's another thing that's going to be interesting to see. With all that, and yeah, like I agree 100% with you. I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, I mean, it could be very well an in and out thing all year long until he decides if he wants to get vaccinated or not. So it'd be interesting. Looking across the way, AFC East, some interesting news that the Patriots cut Cam Newton. We also cut Brian Hoyer, Mac Jones. Will be the starting quarterback, the first round pick, the new regime, who looks good. He will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. Cam is now a free agent. Where will Cam go? Well, who is looking into him? I saw a report today that there are 4 teams looking at him: the Cardinals, the Cowboys, the Steelers, and the Falcons are the 4 teams interested in possibly Cam Newton, which I think is interesting.
Interesting. Cam hasn't played as well. I think what was the MVP 2018, something like that. He hasn't been the same player since then. It's been somewhat of a decline. Injuries have kind of caught up with him. He didn't have a terrible preseason at all. He had a bad game, and then like I said, but unfortunately, he only played 3 games, so he didn't have a bad game. But he didn't necessarily have a terrible preseason. He still can play. From my lens, it was just the fact that I don't think he wanted to play. I don't think the realism of it is that Bill Belichick, I believe Bill Belichick in this regard, liked him, wanted him on the team, but also knew that the best person to put him in a winning position right now is Mac Jones, based on what he wants to run. You know what I'm saying? With Cam, you get good Cam some games, hell, some halves. And sometimes, interception machine. So they spent too much money on both sides of the ball in free agency, something they haven't done. Bill Belichick really wants to get back into Super Bowl talk, playoff talk. You know what I'm saying? I know he heard all the crap about Tom Brady. He's not, you know what I'm saying, with Asante Samuels said some other crap here a couple of days ago saying that Bill Belichick he's nothing without Tom Brady. That's unfair. There's, you know what I'm saying, there's other parts to that team. You know what I'm saying, when you think about Teddy Bruschi and Ty Law, and hell, I know I forget some other players, man, that made it the Patriot way, you know what I'm saying, besides Tom Brady. But again, Bill Belichick is the genius, is the evil genius that kept, you know what I'm saying, defenses, kept offenses, you know what I'm saying, off the field, Peyton Manning and the Colts for a long time. So I think Bill Belichick wants to get back into that conversation. You can't get back into that conversation with Cam, who isn't elite anymore, right? And I'm not saying Mac Jones, you just start, you know what I mean? I'm not saying Mac Jones is, you know what I'm saying, he won the competition. Cam didn't want to play backup to a rookie. So I think they had a business agreement to sever ties. They gave him $3.5 million guaranteed over the summer. So it's not like he's going away with hurt feelings. He just, you know what I'm saying, wants to go out there and more so than anything. And if he does have the backup, he wants to, you know what I'm saying, probably take backup to a veteran. You know what I mean? That's probably going to be in and out. I can see, you know what I'm saying, when you hit me up earlier on about Dallas, I immediately said no. But given Dak potentially himself also might be in and out of the lineup, dealing with, you know what I'm saying, his recovery with his ankle and potential soreness in the shoulder, I could see that's possible that Cam could be a starter for a couple weeks with Dallas. Yeah. But I don't know, Grant. I don't know, Grant. I really think he goes to a team that is looking, it's probably looking for a bridge between for this year. If I had to guess, somewhere maybe Denver for sure.
Yeah, I would. You know, I would never. I would have said a while back, no, ain't no way he's going to go to Pittsburgh and be like a number two there, and then maybe fill in if injured. But it was just a couple years ago we did this with Michael Vick, so I'm not going to say never because Tomlin is a fan of Cam Newton, and they have apparently a nice off-the-field relationship with the two. So we did it with Michael Vick. I can see us doing it with Michael Vick in his career with us, so I can see Cam Newton possibly doing the same thing. So
they'd have to cut Mason Rudolph or Haskins. I don't know.
Haskins made the team, which I thought was interesting. He had a horrible fourth preseason game, but Tomlin then did say, you know, I mean, you're playing with scrubs out there. Guys trying to make the team, you're not playing with first team snap, so I mean, obviously it was only going to be so much. You can only do so much with burnt pasta. I don't know. I screwed that analogy up. But still, you can only do so much with it, right? So
you can still eat around it.
Absolutely. Moving ahead here, I want to talk PGA golf real quick. We had Coach Mike Fleck on Ball State Golf last week. This past weekend, BMW Championship. John, it went 6 playoff holes between Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Cantlay. There was trash talking during that final round. I watched the entire final round of these two that started at 2 o'clock. My God, it was almost 8 o'clock by it finished. The fact that on the 14th hole, I think, is where it turned. Bryson felt sensed that Patrick was coming, and Bryson was trying to line up for a shot, and he just kind of turned around and said, "Patrick, can you stop walking? Just stop." I think, and the announcers believe, that pissed off Cantlay right there. Like, whoa, what the hell? Like, Bryson, where the hell did that come from? Didn't need to say it. It rocked Cantlay up. He went down. Cantlay was a putting machine from hole 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, making all these super long putts. And then he hit putt after putt after putt after key putt in the playoff. He knocked off Bryson. Going into the Tour Championship this weekend, Cantlay is going to be at 10 under, the leader. Bryson will sit back in third place. John Rahm will be in second place starting out. The way they do this Tour Championship, the top 30 people. I thought it was great with these two going back and forth. Bryson just being an asshole that Bryson is always. The fact that he could not make a close putt. He missed 5 putts, John, the chance to win it. And then obviously he missed the last one to go to the next playoff hole. So,
well, it's official. He's officially golf PGA. He's villain. Everybody loves to root against him. Yeah, have they put the rule in?
They have. I was going to say that. The softest rule in golf, the softest rule in the PGA is that they are going to kick people out now who call Bryson Brooksy, which is baffling to me. And it seems like Bryson and his posse were crying and bitching and moaning. Oh, I got her feelings. That Bryson, this makes you more of an asshole. This makes you more of a villain. Brooks Koepka makes him more of a babyface. I mean, who doesn't love Brooks Koepka? I mean, the guy's got it all. Money, fame, built, golf, you name it. Here's the crazy thing, John. The Ryder Cup is in a couple weeks, in like 3 weeks. Both these guys are on Team USA. So you got – and Patrick Cantlay's on Team USA. So somebody broke it down on Twitter, and it was great. If you're going to put money on it, go ahead and put money on Team Europe because you've got Bryson, who doesn't like Brooks. Brooks doesn't like Bryson. Patrick Cantlay doesn't like Bryson. Bryson doesn't like Patrick Cantlay. Bryson doesn't get along with a lot of these guys on Team USA. So how are they supposed to play a team game together when they can't get along anyways? So I just think Bryson's such an ass, arrogant. You know, I'm surprised he didn't complain to it about his putter. It's the putter's fault. It's this putter's a piece of crap. And the seat putter. Yeah. But he was complaining about the crowds, and I guarantee he wouldn't have done any of that complaining if he would have just made one of those little foot, 4 or 5 foot putts. He wouldn't have had it. Just sounds like a guy crying. I would love to talk to Coach Black again just to get his reaction and his thoughts on this Bryson situation. And Brooksy. Okay, why not? I mean, don't you want to be called these other golfers, I think? People call you, hey, go ahead, get out of there, Tiger. Like, shit, call me Tiger. Call me Brooksy. I don't care. It's just Bryson trying to be an idiot. If you go on his Instagram right now, he's probably got some weird, stupid video that makes no sense. And just trying to – just Bryson being Bryson. I'll leave it at that.
PGA's – PGA Billy. The man, your man you love to hate.
They're trying to protect him, too, I think is crazy. John, last two things I have. Bishop Sycamore, this team, John, and we talked a little bit shortly with Tanner – John, this team is a team who played apparently on Friday night and got dusted. They went against the rules and played on ESPN Sunday, saying they were a top team in the country with D1 recruits, got dusted. Come to find out they've got college JUCO kids and guys that are past college, grown adults, on this team. The head coach has a felony out for him. There is no such thing as Bishop Sycamore. And John, it was all a fraud. There's no information on this. ESPN even said during the show, there's no information on these players or anything. And they were led to believe, is this not the biggest ruse there has been in some time?
It's a big con, and ESPN got conned. As we, you know, we have a love-hate relationship over here with ESPN, especially when they try to shut down our show. but man, they got conned. Somehow, some way, man. That'd be interesting, man. It'll probably be somebody will make a story about it, a Netflix documentary about it, like how and why they did it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why. How you could be sympathetic towards it as they playing with, you know what I'm saying, half grown men playing and losing.
John, they didn't lose. They got their ass whipped.
They got dusted, right. So it's gonna be very, very interesting with all the. Everything kind of, you know what I'm saying? What's worse? Dude, this is worse than when the Cuba tried to use
Danny Almonte
in the World Series. I said that was, you know what I'm saying, a 16, 17-year-old. And like
yeah, Danny Almonte.
Yeah. So this is worse. This is way worse than that. But I don't know. This is the world we live in, man. You know what I'm saying? People, you know what I'm saying, wanting to be famous, man. You know, they'll do and even embarrass themselves to try to be famous.
I love Twitter at times, John. There's times that Twitter is great, and I saw some memes that said the admission counselor for Bishop Sycamore was Lori Locklear, who was Aunt Becky on Full House. You know how she cheated to get her daughter into college. I saw a free agent thing that had Cam Newton signing a free agent deal with Bishop Sycamore. I thought that was great just as much. And then there was one other I saw. God, I can't think what it was. It was another meme, but Twitter had a nice go at it with this, and I thought it was hilarious. On the flip side of Twitter, you get some idiots out there, John. some idiots. You know, every year we find a different fan base that we piss off or we have come at us. For a while, it was the last year, I think for me, it was the Hoosiers football team, the fan base with IU football came at me. And, you know, I stuck it to them when Ole Miss knocked them off. But this year, the season ain't even started yet, and I already got Temple. The Temple Owls fan base is already coming at my ass.
Yeah, I don't even know how that all started, man. I said something about UConn not being relevant since Donald Brown, former coach running back. And then
somebody said something to you about it.
Yeah, it's a more detailed conversation about Temple, to the Temple Owl football program. I didn't even know they had one. So,
hey, they play. Listen, Temple's terrible. They're just as bad as UConn. I can't wait to be chirping back at these guys here in a bit. I actually was bringing up their schedule. Bear with me. Hell, I think they're in this book. I would think they're in this college football book. I mean, they got a team. They might be as bad as UMass. I don't know. And UMass is bad, too. There's some really bad teams this year.
You found somebody. You found a new program to pick on, man. I'm gonna have to reach out to the coaching staff, the Temple football program, and bring them on.
Temple last year went 1-6. They went 1-6 last year. They had some few good seasons, but this year here's their lineup: at Rutgers, that's gonna be a loss this week. At Akron, that might be a win. Akron is bad this year. They might beat Akron at Akron. I can see that. Then they got home against Boston College. Boston College is going to be a good team this year. They have at least 8 wins, I believe. Then they're home against Wagner. There ain't no way Wagner's a Division I program. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Sorry, Temple. Then they take on Memphis. That could probably be a close game. Memphis isn't the Memphis from a couple years ago. They were really, really good. So, we'll see what happens with that. Give me a second here. That's my computer. They're at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's top 10 team. They're going to get smoked at Cincinnati. Then they take on USF, South Florida Bulls, then UCF, and then East Carolina, Houston, Tulsa, and Navy. I only see maybe 2-3 wins this whole season with Temple. And I'm going to the people that tweeted me about Temple. By God, when that box score comes up on Twitter, because I've subscribed to Temple Football now on Twitter, when that box score comes up and shows that big fat L, I'm just going to be tagging a lot of people in this thing.
Temple.
And then Temple fans can come on here. They can call in and vouch about their team, how good or how bad they are to me. So we'll go from there. That's an open invitation to the Temple Owls.
You started it.
Well, I mean, it was the Hoosiers last year. At least it was Temple this year. Who's the next team? I mean, the team should be Nebraska. But, I mean, their fans agree with us that they suck.
Yeah. Yeah, they
so,
do.
it should be them. But last thing I got, John, Walking Dead. I caught up.
Spoiler, dude. I haven't watched it yet.
No spoilers. Walking Dead, no spoiler for me, I didn't get to watch – I didn't even watch all the way to the finish of the first episode. So I had to yesterday I watched the first episode. I watched the second episode. And then on my little thing I have, I already have access and I already watched the third episode for this week. So I am caught up and ready to go with Walking Dead. So
yeah, I'll catch up with it sometime this weekend. For sure, because this is it. This is the last episode. This is the last season. So
I do have one thing you need to watch on Netflix, John. It's on my list. It's a second series, the second episode of Untold. Untold did the first one they did was Malice in the Palace with the Pacers and Pistons, which was a great production. One they did here is called Crimes and Penalties. The title of this one. There were four. They were the Bad Boys of Hockey, a team bought by a man with mob ties, ran by his 17-year-old son, and with a rep for being as violent as they were good. So this, I've been told, is great. So that's on Netflix as of today, Crimes and Penalties. It's just the old mob bosses playing hockey, deception, money laundering, you name it. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that. Any other things you got, John, before we end? We got about 20 minutes still.
Nothing on the, NBA front, man. Rajon Rondo got a contract buyout from Memphis, man. He immediately resigned with the Lakers. So, you know, another old head goes out to L.A. to, you know what I'm saying, win one more. He probably should never got, you know what I'm saying, out the building with the Lakers. He played well for them in the playoffs during the bubble season. So Rajon Rondo is back with the Lakers. Other than that, Brandon, I'm ready for us to watch some football, man. Tomorrow I'll be watching.
Justin Powell just said I'm the new Double D.
No way. No, listen. Ain't no, you know, there ain't too much. There ain't too much you can listen to on Indiana radio between.
He's been kind of chill, has he not lately?
Man, you know, what you either listen to Double D, Clay Travis, or
by the way, talk about Twitter. You have been going at it with Clay Travis this past week. I get all your tweet alerts. Anytime you tweet, so I see Clay Travis, you are just going in on him.
He's my favorite person to punk because he's an idiot. Docker says he's not on Twitter no more, but he, you know, so every now and then if I mention him, he'll find it because he still searches his name up or whatever. But like, nah, I don't know. You ain't no Docker, man.
I don't want to be a Docker.
I ain't got nothing nice to say about it. Either one of them, be honest with you.
By the way, I need to start doing this. I did it on Twitter, and I need to do it on here and every day on Twitter now. 1075, 93.5, The Fan. If you're looking for somebody, you know, to give you some coverage, we're tired of seeing national coverage all the time. If you want to put me and John on after Freddie Coleman at night, because shout out Freddie, I like Freddie. If you want to put us on from midnight to 1 or midnight to 2 or even 10 to midnight, Crossroads will do it. Let's negotiate. Let's get us on there.
Guarantee.
I know you got some open time slots.
Guarantee you. And, you know, we're not backbiters like Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, man.
Let me ask you this. Some time.
It's your throat. Go ahead.
Who fills that role now that Max will be leaving since Stephen A. got him out? Who do you see would fill that role? Who's available?
Who could be
it's got to be ratings.
It's about ratings, right? Tim Tebow would be good for football. I don't know if Tim Tebow would be good for anything else, you know what I'm saying? But he would pull in a certain demographic. A certain type of people would like to listen to Tebow talk about football. But again, he's kind of a one trick pony. So they might go the route where they have a rotating seat. But like, I don't know, because if you bring in Jalen, you know what I'm saying, and you bring him over, just him and Stephen A don't always necessarily see eye to eye, but they don't necessarily – they're not. It's not enough of combativeness between the two personalities. Right?
Would they bring Randy Moss in?
For football, yeah, I can see that. But, like, no, dude, you know what? ESPN made the – you can let Skip go. I would have never let Shannon Sharp go. I think Shannon Sharp's pretty good on either front, football, basketball. Baseball. Whenever he got some good notes in front of him, I think Shannon can speak to just about anything and can play a debate with anybody. I don't know. There's got to be. I don't know. Skip. I mean, but like Stephen A. wants to bring in, you know, Wilbon and Magic Johnson, and I don't know. I don't know what he. You know, what I'm saying, what he's thinking. I ain't got nothing against Magic Johnson. But I don't know about Wilbon and Stephen A. I don't know. That would be more.
They're too much like
buddy,
each other.
That'd be more buddy. Yeah, that'd be more buddy type of show. But like, no, man. If ESPN really want to get the ratings up, yeah, I mean, get me and you to the debate
and
Stephen A.
And they're making a lot of moves. They're making a lot of moves because also the jump with Rachel Nichols is gone. They're going to bring in a new NBA show this fall, which. I think the writing was on the wall with how Rachel's exit with NBA coverage went. So she may end up back on TNT because she was there with them previously, if you remember.
But can't you tell, man? So, like, a lot of times people want to say that it's politics and it's racial. Nah, man. Up here at ESPN, man, this is cutthroat. They're at each other's – they want each other's jobs. I remember what's name had a whole conversation.
Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick had a whole conversation about, and he said, you know, he said it very respectfully when him and Stuart Scott, they were coworkers, but Stuart Scott wanted the spot. You know what I mean? You know, Dan Patrick was the number one guy at ESPN at one point when that old guard had left and he got elevated. But Stuart Scott wanted the spot because that what comes with the spot. People listen to you. They listen to your sport opinion. They listen to what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? And he said they had a very, you know, sometimes not necessarily healthy working environment because you know what I mean, they want each other because he wanted the spot. So
right.
ESPN is a very competitive place where, you know, so you got to watch your back.
Absolutely. Yeah, ESPN, Edmonds Communication, downtown Indianapolis. Put me and JB on for an hour, 2 hours. I guarantee you we'll get you some ratings. We'll get you some listeners. So, John, I've got nothing else, my man, if you want to wrap us up for this evening. Football's back.
Man, football's back. We had a great show. We had some great friends of the program call in from Reggie and Fred Felder from the K-Fape Connection. I know D. Cott, he sent me a message about wanting to call in, but, you know, his time is limited. So I think we missed D. Cott. So we'll check back in.
Tanner joined us tonight. That was great.
Great college football picks. I can't wait to see the dominance that I showed from last year. Hopefully it carries over. But, no, man, great show. I appreciate everybody that Justin Powell and Annie Reggie, again, for chiming in. Scott K. Nichols also from State Farm Insurance. He also chimed in today on the live feed. Folks, remember,
Tamika?
Man, anybody listen to the –
Shout out. I got your back.
So, like, yeah, man, we had some great interaction today. And everybody, man, listening, man, you know what I'm saying, like, share, and support Crossroads Sports, man, because Crossroads Sports is of the people and for the people, and we wouldn't be here without, you know what I'm saying, the aforementioned people that call in and the aforementioned people that check in the live feed. So I also want to, you know, before I wrap it up, I want to say thank you to both our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Maverick Motors Customer. How could we do what we do without them? You know what I'm saying? So make sure if you're listening to our show, you know, check out our sponsors.
Hold on, John.
Was that?
I said, hold on. We got a call.
Oh, do we? Let's take it.
We got a call. Just came through. Give me a second here. Oh, we're going for round number two, apparently. Reggie Sykes, what you got? We tried to wrap.
I'm back, man. I had to call you guys back, man, because I had to get through saying everything I wanted to say, man.
You got 6 minutes. Opinion. Go ahead.
I wanted to get your opinion on what's going on with golf. They're giving people money for extra tweets. Is that causing golfers to talk trash to each other, or is it breaking the decor? I hear golfers talking about throwing people out for calling old boy Bootsy and everything, and I was really surprised at that. I said, you didn't Woofy, is it Woofy or Bootsy? What did they say?
Brooksy?
I don't even know why they call him Brooksy. I just know it's been a lot of, you know, people trying to get tweets to get that extra money. I mean, it's really funny that you're giving millionaires extra money to drive tweets, which is a bashing site where they talk trash, but you want them to be quiet in the stands and everything. I just don't understand golf sometimes. I just don't understand the PGA, and I don't understand the NFL sometimes. So, I had to call you back and tell you. And I had another question for you, too. What's going on at the racetrack in Claremont? I drove by there, saw a whole bunch of RVs. Is it a drag strip nationals going on or something?
Yes, the U.S. Nationals are going on this weekend there, Labor Day weekend.
Well, golly, those people there extra early, ain't they?
That's what race fans do, man. They get there early, camp out.
Man, it must be a whole bunch of drunks over. I mean, law-abiding citizens over there right now.
you better stay away from over there, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, my child loves racing. That's how I got involved in racing. He used to love Jeff Gordon. So I used to have to take for his birthday present every year. We either took him to the 500 or we took him to NASCAR. Because he's now into Formula One, and he's into monster trucks a little bit. You know, for a long time, he was mad at me because he wanted to get into go-karts, I'm like, man, I think you're taking off the weekends for services, gold cars. That's an expensive sport to get into, you know? Maybe
you got
need to go
money.
To school to become a mechanic, you know?
Yeah, you got the money for it.
I don't believe that. But I just want to give y'all a call. It's like, D. Cox, sorry, but didn't come around. I'm about to go rewind this show.
He didn't call in. He didn't call in.
That's great.
He didn't call in. You scared
That's
him.
Great.
You scared him this week. You still got
yeah, you scared
hey,
him
I let you go, man.
Look,
one question,
like
Red.
I said,
you got the coach.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
got the coach winning 11 games.
Ahead.
You got the coach winning 11
Thanks,
games.
Coach
you got the coach winning 11 games this year?
I really do, man, because I not on the power of the offense necessarily, even though I like our wide receiving core, but on the power of our defense.
Okay.
I think the coach defense is, I mean, even the four stringers and third stringers, like you said, they came back on Detroit. And those were, you know, four stringers, third stringers fighting back the team. You look at the coach practice squad. The people who made the practice squad are people who have been here, you know. So we're
right.
deep at a lot of positions and everything. And I really
right.
think our defense may score a touchdown every other game.
Oh.
And I expect them
Uh-oh.
To win a turnover battle every game. I mean,
okay.
DeForest Buckner.
I hope so.
Ibana, what's his name? Ibana, whatever his name is. I mean, this.
Ibana, yeah.
Yeah, the maniac. Hey man. These cops took the bad time to leave the coach to become a Washington fan, New England Patriots man. You know, so that's all I gotta say about that. And I know y'all short on time. I just wanted to call y'all back because y'all said I could call back.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Reg, go back and listen.
Yeah, hold on.
I put my picks
see,
up for you,
listen.
And I'll have some more for you
cool.
on Twitter.
Well, I got to tell you one more thing, and then I'm going to leave you alone, okay? Your sponsor, Scott Nichols, he is a bandwagon fan also.
Uh-oh.
You know,
uh-oh.
I've seen him in Pacers gear and Colts gear, but he changes teams like the wind. You know, now he's talking about, well, I'm from Detroit. I'm a Lions fan,
uh-oh.
You know. Then he'll say he's a Pistons fan. Then he was a Cleveland fan. Then he was a Miami fan. I mean, I appreciate Scott Nichols. Sponsoring your show, I mean, y'all need to have a conversation about this fandom because this is in question.
Oh, man.
I ain't going to question the guy that pays the bills right now. I ain't going to be doing that.
I find you out there. Hey, D. Cox, he's so popular. He'll find you that sponsor with his cheap butt. No tipping
oh,
butt.
Man.
So, yeah.
No
yeah, by the way, him no tipping. That's woo.
Woo. Oh, yeah, man. Hey, man.
All right,
I tell you, man. I can tell you stories about the guy. Hey, yeah. Last thing, one Central can beat the Detroit Lions.
Wow.
See ya. Reggie Sykes controls part two with Reggie Sykes.
Part
so.
Two.
John, you got nothing else? Finish the rap job.
Nah, man. I just want to say, man, that was enough, man. Who could follow that, man? Outside of that, man, I'll just say thank everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.